From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, fighting off psychic attacks with Robert Bruce, another Coast to Coast classic in the making. Here's what's happening. The U.S. government has warned domestic and international airlines that some terrorists are considering surgically implanting explosives into humans to carry out attacks. This is almost like a movie. There is no intelligence pointing to a specific plot at this time, but the U.S. shared its concerns last week with executives at domestic and international carriers. People traveling to the U.S. from overseas may experience additional screening at airports because of the threat, according to the Transportation Security Administration. Douglas Hagman, a private investigator, on the line with us here. Douglas, another bizarre story. And again, they're going to have more pat-downs, no doubt, right?
Well, indeed, George. Now, we've seen intelligence reports, bona fide reports of terrorists planting such bombs inside cadavers, both human and animal, in Afghanistan, for example, although that's quite rare and significantly different than the logistics of using a living, breathing, and ambulatory human in such a scenario. And you know, let's remember the failed shoe bomber on December of 2001. Mm-hmm. And let's remember the failed underwear bomber on Christmas Day of 2009. Both, the former resulted in the conditioning of people to remove their shoes, and the latter resulted in the full implementation of the full-body scanners and invasive pat-downs. Now, you know, when we take a look at these through the prism of these high-profile, dismal failures, those were straightforward, unsophisticated attempts. Now we're being told to be on alert for a scenario that requires far more sophistication and is accessible to the average terrorist.
Where would, without being too graphic here, Douglas, where would they put these explosives?
Well, we've seen a number of different possibilities. And again, without being graphic, of course, breast implants on women. In men, there would be, in the torso area, in other areas. But, you know, it's interesting. And I don't believe coincidentally, in my opinion, that this alert is issued at the very time that the second generation of the stronger, more powerful body scanners are about to be deployed. And one more thing, I'd ask people to consider the potential incorporation of an individual's medical records to explain scars from surgeries, perhaps, when traveling. And perhaps the most relevant vehicle to facilitate like a trusted traveler type program is the proposed and battle-scarred new healthcare program. So, you know, there's more to this than just the this alert. I think it's a little bit more to this than that.
Well, and some would say, those people, of course, who are opposed to the pat-downs and the new body scanners, that this may be just another thing created in order to continue the ruse. What do you think?
Well, I'm inclined to believe that simply because monitoring the real-time Arabic language and Farsi language and in various other terrorist areas on the internet, we've seen nothing to indicate any type of medical procedures or any type of doctor saying, hey, we'll do this for you, or any type of recruitment of this nature.
All right, Douglas. In a moment, Greg Hunter joins us, USAWatchdog.com, as we talk more about this story and some round-robin news reports. An eyewitness says a 4th of July fireworks accident decapitated a Fargo, North Dakota man. Police identified the victim as a 41-year-old father of two who enjoyed his life. He was setting off a round of fireworks when it blew up and just took his head right off. Weather remains the primary concern ahead of Friday's planned launch of the last shuttle mission. The Atlantis orbiter is due to lift off on a mission to haul critical supplies to the International Space Station. Forecasters believe, though, there's a 70% chance that stormy weather will prevent the shuttle from getting away on time from the Kennedy Space Center. But there's been a lot of bizarre weather going on lately. Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, But by Ice. Robert, this is a strange year. What's going on?
Oh, it really is, George. You know, one of the things I keep hearing about all of the heat, but let's remember that there were so many people that went skiing just 2 days ago. They had skiing across the West. They had skiing in Colorado, skiing in California, skiing in Washington State, skiing in Oregon. And these are places that have not offered skiing on 4th of July. So that's from the massive record snowpack, of course, last year. And I'm sure that a lot of your listeners are still putting up with the flooding down the Missouri River.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's coming from that massive record-breaking snowpack. 2 times normal, 4 times normal, 5 times. Mammoth Mountain in California had 7 times normal snowfall last winter. So, yeah, there's something going on.
Here we go. Robert Felix website, of course, evolutionaryleaps.com. Robert, thank you so much. A New York City pet store that has been surrounded by bars has banned drunken puppy buying. That's right. Workers at the La Petite Puppy in Greenwich Village say customers tend to stumble in after happy hour and purchase a dog without thinking. Drunken customers now are also forbidden to even hold puppies because they've been dropping them. Quick on the heels of Google's launch of its latest social networking venture, Facebook is rolling out video calls. It's powered by the internet phone company Skype. Facebook said that it's also rolling out a group chat feature. Facebook users can now create instant group chats if they want to quickly message a small group of their friends. Facebook has 750 million users. Up next, investigative correspondent Greg Hunter joins us as we talk about terrorism in a news roundup on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. As we said earlier, terrorists may be implanting bombs in humans to carry out attacks. Greg Hunter, investigative correspondent for years with ABC News and Good Morning America. His website, usawatchdog.com, quickly growing as a news alternative website. Greg, let's get your reaction to the story. What do you think?
I think it's like Will Rogers said. It's kind of a takeoff on what Will Rogers said. Every war, we find a new way to kill each other. Who says we don't have progress? And I think the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda and whoever are finding ways to progress themselves. And these are vicious people who hate us. And they are able to get, women and young boys and people to strap on a bomb and go into a mosque or go into a mall or go to wherever and detonate it. I mean, there was a teenage kid in Pakistan that set off a suicide bomb, him and another kid. Well, he lived. The other kid died, but they killed dozens of people. And he blew his arm off and ended up in custody. But this is a kid that was talked into, 14-year-old boy talked into, to blowing some people up. This is just this past April. The Taliban is also recruiting females in Afghanistan and Pakistan because they wear these long, burqas, these long outfits, these flowing gowns, whatever, and they can hide, bombs. As far as the implanting bombs, that's kind of a tricky thing. If they, have a breast implant or a butt implant or some kind of a chest implant, and you inject yourself to ignite the bomb. So far, we haven't seen that yet, but who knows what's going to happen? Desperate people do desperate things. It's pretty frightening.
It sure is. Now, will our scanners detect any of these explosives that may, one, be in people's body orifices, or two, surgically implanted in them?
I don't know if the body scanner that it has now, I mean, it can see through your clothes, but it can't see through your skin. And I think they're going to have to check surgical scars. I think they're going to have to check your bag for something injectable. I think, the Israelis are great at interviewing people at airport. That's what they're talking about, doing interviews. And they just put people who they may find suspicious through a real a barrage of questions and watch their facial expressions. And they're trained to detect people who are, sweating it and who may have something to hide. I don't know how involved this is going to get, but the body scanners right now see through your clothes, but they don't see through your skin. I just find this whole thing where people will go to the point of strapping on a vest or in surgically implanting a bomb, that's some real hate and some real devotion, and it's a pretty tenacious enemy.
Can you imagine the operations that would fail while they were trying to implant these explosives in people, just because they're not all going to work? So they may blow the person up while he's on the surgical table.
What happens if you're up in an airplane and you decide you're a 14-year-old kid or you're a woman who's expecting a child and say, I don't think I want to do this. Then
yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Do you go right to the hospital and have it cut out? I mean, what happens then?
The fact that they would talk to domestic and international carriers about this, our officials, what does that tell you, Greg? What have they heard?
I think I think they've heard some pretty damning evidence that says it's either being thought about or they're doing some trial implementations or something. I think it's fairly progressed for them to come out and start blowing the whistle on it. I don't know if they, so far we haven't seen one of these bombs yet, but maybe they're doing dry runs. Maybe, who knows what they found? They're not going to, you know, reveal everything they found, but who knows what they found?
And it would have to be a pretty big explosive to take out a plane and other people around. I mean, they don't want to just set off an explosive to kill the person. They want to take everybody with them.
Well, if you're at 30,000 feet, you're a pressurized hull, and you have the shoe bomber, for example, and you can blow the hull out of the plane and knock a big chunk out of it out, you might be able to cause the plane to lose control.
Yeah,
you might
that's
be able
true.
To cause a bigger, you know, if it's pressurized, you might be able to cause it to blow a bigger chunk than what most people realize would blow out as opposed to something sitting on the ground. So who knows?
Let's talk a little bit about Libya and Gaddafi. Where the heck is this guy? What's going on there?
Well, Gaddafi is going to stay. He's pretty much thumbed his nose at the coalition and at the United States. And the United States is in a...
We're still bombing, right?
Oh, we're bombing like crazy. Now, remember, this was something that was supposed to be over in a few weeks. That's what the president said. It's going to be just a few weeks. The United States is going to take a back seat. It's going to be a NATO operation, of course. Here it is, what, over 3 months later. And, you know, I don't know if you have to explain to the president of the United States, and I'm not anti-Obama, but NATO is the United States. There's a U.S. military commander at the head of NATO. So the United States has not taken a back seat. We have the military hardware. We have the drones. We have special forces. We have, you know, jets and aircraft carriers to do many sorties every day. The bombing has intensified. Why they want to go after him now, after years and years after, you know, Lockerbie 103, it escapes me, especially with things like Syria, where the Assad family are shooting protesters. As many as 1,400 have died so far in all the uprising in just Syria. They're trying to buy off the population with, you know, some checks and some raises for public workers and things like that. But that's not really working. Yemen is a big powder keg in terms of it could go rogue. It could go Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
They're very scared about that. Of course, it's on the Arabian Peninsula right next to Saudi Arabia, one of the world's biggest oil producers. That could be very disruptive to the Western world. And they don't even have to take over the whole country. Just the thought of them, you know, bombing a couple of refineries or blowing up a couple of wells could spike oil prices up to $150 or $200 a barrel. That's enough to do economic damage on the West.
Well, I'm not a fan of Gaddafi. Should have been taken out years ago. He is a terrorist. He saw the light after Reagan bombed his one of his chalets and killed a couple members of his family. Daughter died, or a little boy.
Yeah.
And he decided, you know, he's done with all this. The point is, as you just brought up, why go after him now, after all these years?
What people don't realize is during the financial crisis, this came out in Congress, that the Federal Reserve loaned Libya money during the crisis.
That's weird.
I mean, isn't that weird?
See, that's what happens when you don't pay your bills.
Well, yeah, and then we also have, you know, the little thing called Afghanistan. Even though the president is bringing home 30,000 troops, we're still going to have 70,000, you know, men and women over there fighting Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. We also have, you know, the whole thing in Libya. Egypt is not settled. The military is in control of Egypt. It's kind of a mess in the Middle East. We have Bahrain that is settled down for now, but... It's a big mess over there, and why we're opening up another front, especially in lieu of the fact that we're in such dire budgetary constraints, and they're wanting to raise the debt ceiling, which I find this is frightening. The number talked about, and they kind of gloss over this in the mainstream press, and that is the number talked about is $2,400 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. They're going to raise the debt ceiling $2.4 trillion. Now, think about this. Where is that money going? What do we need that much money for? Part of it, I suspect, is to help bail out the bankers with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. At the first of the year, Tim Geithner gave $127 billion forgiveness to Bank of America and their unit, you know, they bought Countrywide, $127 billion of forgiveness for toxic mortgage debt. Now, this was debt that was supposed to be equal to a treasury. It was supposed to be a risk-free return. Why did people buy it? Well, it paid a few hundred basis points higher, paid a couple of percentage points higher, and after all, it was rated AAA, it was equal to a treasury. Well, sure, we'll buy that. Well, Bank of America just recently had to pay back $8.5 billion, but they were forgiven by Tim Geithner, just a bureaucrat, $127 billion. Not a word was said. Not a word. Big story on front page of USA Today newspaper yesterday, day before yesterday, how state and federal officials are going after people who are cheating unemployment. Okay, listen, I don't want anybody to be cheating the system, especially if it's somebody who needs unemployment and some other dope who's cheating the system is taking it from them. But we're talking about trillions, hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in mortgage fraud. I mean, it was exposed on 60 Minutes that Linda Green, these Linda Green documents where they sign these bogus documents because they don't have promissory notes. Well, all these things were bundled up into securities. Well, if you didn't have the promissory notes and the correct documents to securitize the debt, why aren't people going to jail?
Exactly.
Why isn't the Justice Department going after these bankers and these mortgage lenders? I mean, Angela Mazzillo paid a $67 million fine. He was the head of Countrywide Financial. Why isn't he being indicted? What? I don't get that. Bank of America had to pay back $8.5 billion. You had $8.5 billion in fraud, and you're going after guys that are making $500 a week in unemployment? You're kidding me. It's unbelievable.
Hugo Chavez, let's talk about him for a minute. He leaves Cuba with cancer surgery. What's going to happen to Venezuela?
I think he's okay, I think he probably already has a successor if there needs to be one. But so far, he's got a hero's welcome. He is staunchly against the United States. He's got a lot of friends in South America and around the globe. Iran's one of his big time buddies. I think he stays, and he's a thorn in the side of America. But he still sells his fuel up here via Citgo. He still takes our dollars, but
he sure does.
Who knows for how long? That's something else. Is that I think people should be frightened about this debt ceiling debate going on in Congress with the president, Democrats, Republicans. The Republicans don't want to raise taxes. The Democrats don't want all the cuts. And the president is willing to pay chicken. He's saying, I don't want a temporary. I don't want a small mini debt ceiling. No. I want the real deal. We ought to get together and do this. Now, I hope he works this out. But this is going to be a political hot potato. And I hope they don't take this to the brink. And all of a sudden, you know, one of the ratings companies says, you know what, you can't agree on this debt ceiling. You know, we're going to cut your rating. That could cost America $100 billion a year in higher interest payments. This could get out of hand in a hurry. This has never happened, George. This is out of sight. This is $2.4 trillion. But what's the big story on all the newspapers, on every channel? Casey Anthony. It doesn't make a dime's worth of difference to most people's lives, but I'll tell you, whether they raise the debt ceiling or not, if they don't raise it, calamity. If they do raise it, I think the dollar takes another big hit, and you'll see the price of fuel go back up. Now, recently, the IEA released, you know, got together and had a coordinated fuel release, you know, of oil out of the strategic petroleum reserves around the world, about 60 million barrels. It's being released right now, a couple of million barrels a day for 30 days. It started last month. But, you know, the price kind of went down, and it's going back up. And what they were talking about is, oh, speculators, or we have to replace the supply that was lost by Libya. But really, that's not true. I had a guest writer, his name is Brandon Smith, go through it, how there is an oversupply of oil right now, at least for right now. He's not saying there's not peak oil, but there's oversupply of oil, so that's not it. It's not to speculators. Why is the price of oil stubbornly high and going back up? And I'll tell you why. They're printing too much currency. We're going to have inflation. We've already got it, and you're going to see a lot more of it.
I think you're right. What's new on the USAWatchdog.com website?
Well, I tell you, you know, I never miss an opportunity to go after the mainstream media, and I did a story about how this whole Casey Anthony story is the big story, and it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I even made the comparison that if there was a walking, talking Martian, it would have gotten about the same amount of airtime as Casey Anthony. I mean, the networks and the mainstream media, I mean, the front page of USA Today and many newspapers across the country, and, oh, aghast, she's not guilty. I don't know whether the jury got the Casey Anthony thing correct or not. I don't know. They say she didn't commit murder and she just lied to police. But what I will tell you is that this makes no difference in the lives of most Americans. Let's
come back with more of that, Greg, and we'll also open up the phone lines, give you a chance to sound off with Greg Hunter on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, it's the Practical Psychic Defense Handbook. Robert Bruce joins us, combating psychic attacks, evil spirits, and possession. Get ready for that. When we come back, more with Greg Hunter and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Greg, before we take calls, we were talking about what's on USAWatchdog.com, and you were talking about the Anthony case. And, of course, you mentioned if an alien Martian came down here, I would have him on my show. Believe me. Go ahead.
Well, listen, this is kind of like the Roman circus, in that this Casey Anthony thing and all this money and all this airtime and satellite shots and reporters chasing her down and all this ink and all these resources, and they're talking about, that's the number, $2,400 billion raising the debt ceiling. And that's like, it's okay. This is going to affect everybody. If they raise it, I think the dollar gets hammered. If they don't raise it, I think the dollar gets hammered. And if they don't raise it, you can have a massive sell-off of dollar assets around the globe. And I mean dollar, liquid dollar, treasuries and dollars. There's $12 trillion in those kind of assets, treasuries, dollars, the agency debt, things like that, around the globe, $12 trillion. If everybody starts selling that in mass, holy smokes, you're going to see the price of oil skyrocket even higher than it is right now. And the reason why prices are up, even though there's a supply glut, right now, a verifiable supply glut. It's what's coming out of Libya is not affecting the price. There's plenty of oil out there for right now. I'm not saying there's not peak oil, but for right now, the prices should be much lower. It's because of the printing of currency.
Sure.
And if you take a look at what the price of gold is doing and what it could do if that happens, there. Steve Forbes of Forbes magazine a few weeks ago, this is on my site. It talked about how, he thinks we'll have a gold standard within 5 years. Jim Rickards at Omnis Capital. These are big hitting people. He also thinks we could have a gold standard in less than 5 years. Well, George, you know what that means? A gold standard? People think, a gold standard. That means people won't take Federal Reserve notes anymore.
That means
we'll be forced to back it by gold. And that will be catastrophic for most people, because I think what they'll do, people think, wow, well, I'll just go ahead and get a lot of debt, and that debt will vaporize. I think the new debt will be converted. The old debt will be converted into new debt, and I think a lot of people end up very, very poor. And
I had an old news director who once said, George, if it bleeds, it leads. And that was his whole philosophy on just about every story.
Well, that was probably pretty good at the time. That was probably really good. But what we have, you have a promo where there's one of your guests saying this is unprecedented. These are unprecedented times. And, George, I think that the change coming to America isn't going to be like in the 70s where we have a dip and we had a kind of a rolling recession and we got out of it. And, somebody like Reagan comes along and triples the national debt and everything feels groovy and everything's fine. And then, maybe we have the Internet boom, through the Clinton years, and things get back to normal. We're going to have a new normal. And the change that's coming, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be much poorer in this country. I think America, in some respects, for the majority, is headed for the third world. I think we're going to lose our middle class. They'll be the very rich and everybody else. And I think one good way to get poor is to have a weak currency. Weak currencies don't make for strong countries. Look at the peso, in Mexico. And I think what's coming down the road is really frightening, and it's going to be a change that will stay with America for a generation, maybe two. Who knows? But what's coming with this debt ceiling and you know, a country the size of Greece could cause, and they were actually talking about this last week. Oh, it could cause the entire, you know, the system to go down. What kind of a mess do the bankers have us in for a country the size of Greece that could take down the entire, you know, European Union and part American banks and money market funds? What kind of a daisy chain of debt default do we have in this world? And we have a big one. We have $600 trillion in over-the-counter derivatives, which are our debt bets. And I know people's eyes glaze over, but this is why this problem hasn't gotten better after we spent $12.3 trillion on this. This should be over, and it's not. It's just getting started.
To the phones we go. Drew is in Phoenix, Arizona, first-time caller. Drew, you're on with Greg Hunter. Go ahead.
Oh, George, a big fan, man. Listen to you every night.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you guys about the TSA thing that you were talking about earlier.
Sure.
And people putting bombs inside of themselves. I mean, lots of people have had surgery, and if you get something like that put inside of you, you're not just going to jump off a table and be like, oh, I'm going to go blow myself up now.
I'm ready to go. I know. It's bizarre. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it effectively.
And so I think it's a scare tactic, so they can touch you, you know, like put it in your brain.
Well, that's a possibility. Doug Hagman thinks it could be that, too. Keep scaring people. You keep scaring people. You keep them on edge, Greg Hunter.
Yep. Take you to a point where you feel like they have to touch you, and then you lose your liberties, you know?
Yes. You want them. Please, undress me. Take my clothes off. Yep.
Yeah, you know?
All right. Thanks, Drew. Good point indeed. You know, it's very possible, Greg. You know, you know what? People are coming down on these body scanners. All of a sudden, you come out with a pretty good story about terrorists wanting to blow people up with humans. Hey. How many people are going to say, okay, scan me? How many?
Probably pretty many. I tell you, I just spent time in St. Louis. I should do this show sometime when you're there, when I'm there. My mom has a farm in St. Louis. But I don't fly. I drive for that reason, from North Carolina to St. Louis.
Well, you should have called me. I'm leaving this weekend back for Los Angeles. Let's go to Frederick in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You're up. Hey, Frederick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Okay, the presumed ballot debt that we're supposedly responsible for is in reality a complete fraud. These derivatives, CDOs, et cetera, obviously they are the skillful concoctions of the Wall Street bankster gangster crowd. And furthermore, the issuance of the nation's currency comes under the presidential authority. JFK obviously understood that, recognized it, and decided to abide by his oath of office and began printing United States Treasury notes, which, of course, at that time were backed by silver dollars,
silver certificates.
And look what happened to him.
Well, and then Gaddafi. I heard this guy, George Whitehurst Berry. George, have you ever heard of this guy?
I have not.
Well, George. Okay, well, if with your permission, he has a website where he chronicles everything. It's crashareyouready.com. All right. Well, what Mr. Berry does is show that this is all a deliberate scam, because over there, Gaddafi and I think even the guy in Iran, I think it's called the Bourse, They began issuing their own national currency, I guess, with the prospect of transacting their oil business and everything else in their own national currency, free of any of this intrinsic Federal Reserve debt currency obligations, which would, of course, predispose them to all sorts of future debt, right?
And I believe also, did not Saddam Hussein, wasn't he trying to get the euro for oil instead of the dollars, Greg?
He was. I don't know if that is the reason why we attacked him, but I don't have a solid source on that. But yes, that's true, and that's the problem with the U.S. dollar, that the dollar is put into circulation by the issuance of debt, and we can print money to buy oil, and that's the big change that's going to come to the world and to America when we lose our world reserve currency status, and I believe we will. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have to pay for oil with stuff that is for real. and it's going to have to be backed by gold or backed by our soft commodities or backed by something. And I've always said that if we had to give up Hawaii or we had to give up Alaska or Florida to do these bailouts, they would never happen. But we just printed money. And the problem with that is that it is making every dollar that everybody else has worth less and less until it gets to a point where, boom, we hyperinflate. Now, we'll have inflation before that, and that's surely what we – since I've been on the show, I said if there's one thing you can count on inflation. Yes, we have deflation still in housing. You have inflation and deflation at the same time. But overall, we're going to have more inflation. And I think what they're doing is that they're throwing more gasoline on the fire. They're putting more dollars out, and they're printing more currency. And I think gold and silver are going to take moonshots for this. Jim Sinclair says that what they're doing, they know exactly what they're doing. It's like Ben Bernanke, a couple of weeks ago or about 10 days ago, had a press conference, and he said he didn't understand, I'm paraphrasing, he didn't understand why the economy was doing what it was doing. You're the head of the Federal Reserve, and you don't understand how the economy is doing what it's doing. You have all these Federal Reserve bankers. You have all these Federal Reserve economists, and you don't understand the economy. Well, number one, you shouldn't be the head of the Federal Reserve. But number two, according to a guy by the name of Jim Sinclair, I love this phrase, he says things like that are too stupid to be stupid. They know full well they haven't fixed anything. They know full well all they're doing is printing money. And my big question is they know it. Then what are we playing for? What's the end game?
It's a globalist agenda, Greg. That's the bottom line. That's what they want. They want a world government economy, and they're not going to stop until they apparently try to get it. Let's go to Kyle in Lafayette, Indiana. Kyle, you're on with Greg Hunter. Go ahead.
Hey, George, big fan.
Sure. Thank you.
My question for Greg is, if we're expected to see the hyperinflation, what kind of amounts can we see our everyday living expenses move up to, like food and, you know, utilities? What's that going to do to, you know, just the people that have to live day to day?
I think I'm not a big guy to tell people to buy gold and silver because I don't think everybody should do it because I think they should do other things. They should put new tires in their car. They should buy food, not because there won't be any, because it'll never be cheaper. So whether you invest in gold and silver, I don't sell it on my site. I'm not a salesperson. It's kind of up to you. But it's an insurance policy. But I will tell you this, Jim Sinclair, who runs JS Mindset, and I did some research on this. Back in 1974, gold was $160 an ounce. And he made a prediction. Now gold went from 1971 at $35 an ounce, and here in 1974, it's $160 an ounce. What is that, 5-6 time increase, right? Jeez. In 1974, he predicted that gold would be $900 an ounce by 1980. And you know what? The intraday trading high was $887.50. The close was $850, pretty close. In 2002, in December of 2002, Jim Sinclair said gold would be $1,650 an ounce by January 11, 2011. It was $1,350. You can't buy an ounce of gold for $1,350. You have to pay $80 commission if you buy an ounce coin. So it's around $1,400, I say. And right now it's $1,530 or so.
And they're talking about 5,000 to 20,000 an ounce.
Well, now he says, now think about it, that's two pretty good picks, right? I mean, you're in 2002, in December, gold was $350 an ounce, and he's saying it's going to quadruple. And people are like, oh, come on. Well, now he says, here he is, $1,500 an ounce, and he says by 2015, it'll be $12,000 an ounce. And here's how he comes up with this figure every time. He says, how many dollars are out there, and what's it going to take the price of gold to be to equalize the amount of dollars out there? And he thinks it'll be over $12,500 an ounce. And to that I say, even if he isn't right on the money, he missed by just a few bucks in 1980. He missed by a couple hundred bucks in January 11th, but really right now, 6 months later, it's almost at the price he said it would be.
Yeah,
so let's
exactly.
Just say Jim Sinclair is half right. Let's say it's not $12,500, it's $6,000. He's half right.
That's still a huge return.
Yes, but I think what that means is not just a return, a trading return. I'm not talking about buying gold and silver as a trading return. I'm talking about it as an insurance policy. Do you know what the world is going to look like with gold at $6,000 an ounce, $12,000
an ounce? Well, first of all, what will cause the world to look like that when gold gets to that price?
All the dollars.
That's what's scary.
We're back to the $12 trillion held outside the country, and if everybody runs to the exit doors at one time, everybody sells their currency at one time, oh, my goodness, it'll depreciate it'll depreciate into a hyperinflationary cloud. And then, you know, like Steve Forbes, the people Steve Forbes talks to and Jim Rickards talk to are connected people. And Steve Forbes, who runs Forbes magazine, who's not in the business to come out and look stupid, and I don't think he is. I think this is a bubbling out of the people he's talking to. Oh, yeah, we'll have a gold standard within 5 years. Ho-ho, for most people, a gold standard is going to be good, but it's going to be very, very painful.
Next up, we go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Ken, take it away. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
Greg, I got a question for you. Appropriately, I'm on the wild card line, so it's a little bit wild.
Okay.
You know, I'm really afraid to speculate in gold. I think it's basically a commodity that can't be traded for groceries or even silver. I'm 60 years old. I've seen inflation since I started my first job pumping gas at 35 cents a gallon, okay? So I'm not off the wall here, but I think that the key problem is that the global economists are controlling our interest that we owe on our debt, and I think we need to bring that home. I think we need to establish our own United States of America bank, and I think we need to demonstrate our own liquidity within the U.S.
And, I think you're right about that, but you're wrong about gold and silver. It's gold. J.P. Morgan, you know, said it best when he said gold is money and nothing else. And I think you're seeing none of the central banks in Europe, none of the central banks are selling gold. They're all buying gold. Russia's buying gold. India's buying gold. China's buying gold. Everybody's buying gold. Nobody's selling it. So I think it's and right now there's a law in Utah that says they're saying the gold and silver, I don't know exactly what it is, something like the Gold and Silver Coinage Act, where they want to make the coins that $1. For example, silver coins, which say $1, but really they're worth $40 an ounce. If you pay the commission, you go out and buy a silver eagle. They're saying that we should be able to trade those at their face, at their weight value. And I think this is big ideas and big things take a while to change. And I think I would not want to be long Federal Reserve notes. I'd want to be long farm ground. I'd want to be long artwork. I'd want to be long gold or silver or numismatic. I want to be long diamond. I want to be long something that is not. Cannot be inflated and printed away and handed out to everybody around the world. I mean, you think about the Federal Reserve. They said that they spent $3.3 trillion, and oops, they had $9 trillion off balance sheet. They spent $12 trillion. They bailed out everybody from foreign banks to Toyota to Harley-Davidson. What's going on?
And not us.
And not us.
Let's go to L.A. Hey, Joseph, take it away. We'll get you in here. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Joseph. Listen, your callers are very intelligent. The dude you got speaking right now, I can't remember his name. He's right on.
The dude is good.
This country is headed in the wrong direction. Everybody should read The Creature from Jekyll Isle.
Oh, yeah. We've had Mr. Griffin on the show.
That should be standard reading in like eighth grade. The other thing that bothers me is I pick up the New York Times. I'm in L.A. right now, but I live on the East Coast of Providence, Rhode Island. But I'm in L.A. I pick up the New York Times, and I can read all about everything that's happening in the Middle East. I can't read one damn thing about South America except Chavez is sick. Guess what? South America is much more important to us than the Middle East. Except, you know what? The Middle East, the only places we're involved in is where there are reserves, where there's
right.
No material wealth. The Sudan, Somalia, we don't give a shit about those people getting bombed. Excuse my language. This country's on a...
Of course they are. I mean, you're absolutely right. These things happen. They happen. Greg, a minute or so to go. Give me a summary.
George, listen, I came out in my latest piece and said, we're headed for a collapse. Period. We're heading for a calamity. I don't mean it's something small. I mean something big. This is big. This is going to be really big. This is going to be like the 70s where we get over it. And I think it's going to be a currency calamity. I really think it's going to be I believe they're going to have a gold-backed dollar, or they're going to have something backed other than the Federal Reserve notes, because I don't think anybody will take it. I think it will be shunned, and it's already being shunned around the world. But I think people should get ready. I think people should be getting their house in order. Even if you can't go out and buy gold and silver, and I'm not a big proponent to say go out and do it, only you can decide how much insurance you need, and it's an insurance policy. but you should be getting your house in order. You should be putting new tires on your car because it'll never be cheaper. You should be stocking up on canned food because it'll never be cheaper. You should be taking some defensive action because I think the fireworks will probably happen sometime this year, surely by the end of next year. Jim Rickards think they'll hold it off till after the
Well, and they're not going to fizzle, Greg. They're not going to fizzle. These are going to be grand fireworks indeed. Thank you. Greg Hunter, website, USAWatchdog.com. Up next, we talk with Robert Bruce, the Practical Psychic Self-Defense Handbook.